So what we're trying to do is learn the beginning of Perek HaBona. The Mishnah tells me that there's a certain shi'or for bona, which is the shi'or of a koshahu. HaBona koshahu is going to be chayiv, and then we give you a bunch of cases. Just as an introduction to what we'll be doing, Arego Achas, there's going to be large discussions in this Gemara and elsewhere as to whether you're chayiv in various cases for bona or for makeh b'patish. Now, there's certain things that everyone knows that you're chayiv for. The question is, which malach in particular am I violating? Rav and Shmuel disagree about many cases. That Rav says it's mishum bona, and Shmuel says it is mishum makeh b'patish. That's a very significant machloikes, and we'll focus on it in a few minutes, I hope. But bona has an opposite malacha. Every time that I violate bona, l'cha'ora, I should also, if I undo it, violate soser. Right? So there's another malacha called undoing what is bona. But there is no malacha of undoing a makeh b'patish. There's zero malacha in Shas called undoing something that is makeh b'patish. So l'cha'ira, just a rego achas, there should be a huge difference whether something is bona or makeh b'patish, etc. That's point one. Now my assumption that whenever there is bona, there is also makeh b'patish, can be questioned from a very funny Gemara. I'm just doing this like to pique your curiosity. We'll talk about this a little bit more. Turn to Daf Tzadi Hei Yomer Aleph. Tzadi Hei Yomer Aleph, it's like a third of the way down. The Gemara says, Rav Nachman Bar Gurya goes to Nahar Zoha. Bo minei, chaylev mishum mechayev. Right, what do you violate? What malacha do you violate when you milk a cow? Amelahu mishum cholev. He says cholev is aser because it's cholev. Okay, mechabeitz mishum my mechayev. Mechabeitz basically is that you take the milk and you begin to separate the curds from the whey. So that's called mechabeitz. What do you violate with mechabeitz? So the Gemara says, you violate mechabeitz. Megabein, what are you chayiv for? You violate megabein. So the Gemara says, what the heck is going on here? I'm like, Rabbah, katol kani ba'agma. Right? Basically, all your Rebbe knows how to do is chop down reeds in a marsh. Right? In other words, he's not doing anything useful. No? He's like, oh, you're chayiv for mechabeitz. You're chayiv for cholet. You're chayiv for Megabing. Rather, Zakhdi Gemara, Asa Shobe Midrasha, so he asks in the yeshiva, Amrule Chaylev is Mefarik, Mechabeitz is Borer, and Megabing is Bona. Megabing means making cheese is the malacha of Bona. How is making cheese the malacha of Bona?
It congeals.
You what?
It congeals.
In other words, you take small particles and you stick it together, and it becomes one unified entity. That is very similar to building a building. When you take bricks and you stick them together, it becomes one unified first wall, or something like that. So, megabein is by definition the malacha of bona. That's what it says in the Gemara. All is grand? Well, if that's the case, I have a kasha. And by the way, I have a kasha on what you're eating now also. Right? You're eating sushi. Sushi, according to many poskim, you cannot make on Shabbos because it is bona. Because if I take the disparate parts, I take the seaweed and I take the rice and I take the fish or whatever and I stick it together and it becomes a single entity, that could be bona. If that's the case, so it's usher to eat sushi on Shabbos, or it's usher at least to eat cheese on Shabbos, because that would be soser. If every case of bona involves an opposite of soser, So lecha'ira, it's not allowed. You're not allowed to eat cheese on Shabbos. Now you're going to tell me, well, maybe eating cheese is not a malacha, because soser is only when there's something that remains at the end. Soser almanas livnos, perhaps. Similar idea to what we spoke about by Korea. Right, if you remember, we had the fear halacha in Siman Shin Yudalat Se'ifches, where the Bi halacha says that like cutting the string cannot be koreya, because it's only koreya if it's shayach to be toifer afterwards, no? And no one ever sews a string together. We ask Akasha, what do you mean? You can be toifer with adding tape to it. But the Bi halacha is assuming that there's no koreya on string. So maybe there's no koreya when I eat cheese. But there's no sosir when I eat cheese, excuse me, because once you eat the cheese, you can't redo it. But if that's the case when I grate cheese, I should be in violation of sosir. And that's going to be a big problem, because the Mishnah on Kuf Chaf Beis says I'm allowed to carry a cheese grater on Shabbos. It's not muksa. If there's a malacha involved, so it should be muksa. So now, why am I doing this? I'm doing this because we're going to encounter in a few minutes a sugya of bone bekalim. And many Rishonim hold yesh binyan bekalim, at least in certain instances, no? Well, if there's bone, does that automatically mean that there's soser? It's entirely possible that the two malachos, even though in most cases they are davar v'hipucho, in most cases, whenever I violate bonet, the reverse of it will be soser. But, potentially, theoretically, I could have cases when I violate bonet, but there is no opposite malacha of soser. That certainly is a possibility, a conceptual possibility. Take a deep breath, I would say inhale, then put it aside, and I want to get back to these yesodos a little bit later. Good? Zakni Gemara. Right, the Mishnah tells me that boina koshehu is chayiv. Any tiny amount of binyan is chayiv. Frek the Gemara, koshehu l'may chazya. What could you do with a koshehu? What can you do with a koshehu? Now, Tosfos and the Ritva are bothered by Akasha. What do you mean koshehu l'may chazya? By many malachos, I see koshehu. If I carry a peppercorn, no? A tiny little peppercorn is like allspice. Now, if you go to the store, you buy allspice, that's called peppercorn. You carry a tiny bit, you're chayiv, no? So how come we're only asking by boina? Right, look at the Tosfos, koshehu l'may chazya. Okay, so what's Tosfos answering? Not 100% clear, but right, read the Tosfos. Tell me what Tosfos is answering. You see the Tosfos, koshehu l'may chazya? And the Gemara, by the way, first tells me a situation. The Gemara asks, oh, where do you see it in the Mishkan? No? That's going to be this whole sugya. Koshehu l'may chazya. So I think, I'm not sure. I think what Tosfos might mean is as follows. The malacha of Chutzah is fundamentally different than all other malachos. Every malacha is constructive. I build something. I change something significantly, right? We spoke about this by the malacha of Tochen, that grinding up vegetables might not be Tochen min HaTorah, because you're not significantly changing it. You're just taking it from big to small. A malacha means, by definition, changing something. Well, that's true by 38 of the 39. Chutzah is a different sort of malacha. Chutzah means I just move an area from location A to location B. That's why Tosfos on Daf Beis Hamad Aleph calls Chutzah a malacha gerua. Chutzah is not like a full-fledged malacha. Now, if that's the case, that Chutzah does not really involve changing the substance. So of course I'm chayiv on carrying anything. But when it comes to a malacha that involves changing of a substance, so then, like bona, so then I have a question, well, bona kosher. The malacha of binyan has to have chashivas. If it doesn't, if it's not significant, it doesn't have any chashivas, so I can't be chayiv on it. That's l'cha'ora what the Gemara is getting at. Good, gentlemen? That's the Gemara with Tosis. So koshahu l'may chazya. So the Gemara has three suggestions, right? And the Gemara asks, right, whatever I'm going to tell you, right, where did it happen in the Mishkan? So let's go. What are the three suggestions in the Gemara? Guys, come on. You got to rechah pachas, prepare the Gemara.
Hiding a coin in the ground.
Right? That an ani, a poor person, doesn't have enough to invest in Gringotts. Right? You don't have a location to put your money, so you hide your money. We talk about it under the mattress. They would hide the money in the ground. And where did they have something similar in the Mishkan?
When they were ripping their curtains.
And what would they do? They're working on the curtains and they would hide the needles in the ground. Zuck the Gemara, no, that can't be pshat. Why? Zuck the Gemara, can't be pshat because... Abaya Omar came into Mashtiki Lo Avdi Hachi. What's Mashtiki? Look at Rashi. Malin Chaluda. Chaluda is rust. I'm not going to put my needle in the ground. I won't even put my money in the ground because over time it's going to rust. So no one's going to do that. Now maybe with your money you might do it. Because even if the money rusts a little bit, it still is legal currency. But I'm not going to put my needle in the ground, because once it rusts, it won't be a good needle. It won't work well. Right? It will lose some of its sharpness. It won't be smooth. Right? It'll be mashed. The key is not a good needle.
And we're fine with using it?
The chayra, that's the idea. No, the people are sowing the ureos, and the ureos we saw earlier... By the malach of kireya, sometimes they rip, or sometimes you get a hole in them, and you have to rip it more in order to re-sew it. Yeah, so you need to keep your needle. So zak the abaya, it can't be that the pshat is that they're making a hole in the ground. So what's pshat number two in the Gemara?
You're making a thing to put a little palm.
What are you making, eh?
Some sort of thing.
Some sort of pot, no? Or some sort of oven. The ani makes tiny little a tripod. No?
So Rashi
says pitputi is a tripod. Tripod balaz, good. So you make like a tripod that you could put your pot on top of it. Right? So it's a tiny little thing that you're making. That's a kosher. How did they have such a thing in the Mishkan? So the Gemara says that they would cook the samimonim in order to extract dye from it. And sometimes the workers would make a tiny little tripod in order to hold the pot for the making of the dyes, no? So far so good? But the Gemara rejects that, and the Gemara says,
"They don't make tiny quantities of
what." You don't make tiny quantities. Right? When you make a Mishkan, you make a Beis Hamikdash, you do it to the nth degree, the most chashuv way. You're not going to do it in a way that it's like saving a few pennies. So it can't be that they make the hole in the ground. It can't be that they're making the tripod. What's the third mahalach in the Gemara? If I have a hole in my building, I will melt some lead or something into it, no? To fill up the hole. And where do they do that in the Mishkan?
When a darna fell on the person.
What's a darna?
Some sort of
worm. Right? When the worm bores its way into one of the krushim, so they would fill it in by putting some lead in the keresh. Does the Gemara have a kash on this? Not really. So la halacha la maisa, the pashtus is that binyan koshahu is not going to be chayiv in most cases. The only time I know that binyan koshahu is chayiv is when I have a real substance and there's a hole and I stuff up that hole. Look at the Rambam Perek Yud Halacha Yud Beis, gentlemen. You have a Rambam. Chapter 10, Law 12. The Rambam doesn't like my pshat. What does the Rambam say? Rambam says, binyan kosher is chayiv no matter what. No? Categorical statement in Maimonides, binyan kosher is chayiv. How does the Rambam learn the Gemara? I'm right, of course, no? Because I said it. So how did the Rambam learn the Gemara?
If you make a mountain or a pallet, he's saying that that's a mound or a furrow that's bona, and you said bona would only be you put something inside of something else.
Now again, I read the Gemara that there's only one case of binyan kosher that's chayiv. Yet the Rambam has many cases of binyan kosher that's chayiv. No, the Rambam says every case of binyan kosher is chayiv. So l'cha'ayra, the Rambam is going to learn the Gemara similar to Tosfos,
which means, ordinarily, we have a kasha. How can binyan kosher be chayiv? What's the chashivos of it? The answer is, I discover a case where there is chashivos that they would do. Mekevon shekein, so binyan kosher is always going to be chayiv. The Rambam is saying that binyan kosher is always going to be chayiv. All the Gemara is doing is it's being mechapesa marimachal. Right? I'm looking for a location of binyan kosher is chayiv, and that location is going to be the darna that falls on the keresh, and once that case is chayiv, so memela, every case of binyan kosher is going to be chayiv also, according to the Rambam. Right? Okay. If what we're saying would be against Taisus, if what we're saying is that you're only chayiv in this case, then the Rambam could not exist. Fine. Problem, gentlemen. We're going to see in a few minutes, I hope in a few minutes, if not tomorrow, that there's a big machlekes harishonim about binyan bekelim. Right? Many rishonim hold, including Rashi. Rashi holds categorically in binyan bekelim. The Yireyim holds categorically in binyan bekelim. Other Rishonim say yesh binyan bekelim in certain cases. At least. What are the three cases in this Gemara? Case one. You dig a hole in the ground, no? That's not a keli, that's grand. Case two. I build a tripod. Is that a keli? Yes. How can I be chayiv for building a tripod? Case three, what do? I have a beam, and I fill up a hole in the beam. How am I chayiv in that case? It's binyan bekelim, no? That's a strong kasha.
Now, when we'll learn the sugya of binyan bekelim, we'll see that Taisus has a shita that even though ain binyan bekelim, that just means that if you take a keli that's largely put together already and you like snap it into place, so then you're going to be potter. That's not binyan. But if I do a very significant act, if I build a keli from scratch, let's say, that is binyan. That's what we'll see in Taisus. That means that if it's binyan chashuv, it's binyan. So the Ritva answers, right? If you look at the Ritva, I think I gave this to you in the Maran Kolos. The Ritva answers, you know what? Our Gemara is bothered by Akasha. What's the chashivus of a binyan kosher? The Gemara answers, binyan kosher was chashuv in that when there's a hole I fill it up, that means that even though it's a keli, it's a chashuv act. And a chashuv act I'm chayiv for. That's what the Ritva says. Now that Ritva, however, only works with those Rishonim who say that sometimes there is binyan mekalim, if it's binyan chashuv, like Asiyas Kol HaKli, which I want to talk about in Yirtz Hashem later. But Rashi, who we'll see, Rashi will say categorically, ain binyan mekalim. Rashi is going to have a difficulty with this case, no? Because according to Rashi, if there's never binyan bekelim, how can there be binyan when you have the keresh, when you have the tripod? How can there be binyan? So look at the Me'iri over here. The Me'iri has an interesting line. The Me'iri writes that a tripod or a keresh is not fully kelim. Why not? Suggestion? Think logically, svaridik. Why would it be that the tripod is not a full-fledged keli? Why would it be that the keresh, that beam of the Mishkan, is not a full-fledged keli? Why not?
The tripod's easier because the tripod's never, it's not doing anything on its own, it's helping something else.
It's helping something else. Say better, say more.
Yes.
The keresh is also helping something else, but there's more to it. Where do you put a tripod?
On the ground.
On the ground. And not only did I put it on the ground, I probably have to dig it a teeny bit into the ground, no? For it to stand. When they built the Mishkan, where did they build the Mishkan?
On the ground.
Zot the Me'iri. It is not called Binyan Bekelim because a Keli is something that I build and it's not attached to the ground. But if I build something to attach it to the ground, dost haste nisht kelim. That's what the Me'iri writes on here. You'll look at the Me'iri, the Lashon the Me'iri. I think the Me'iri is saying it beautifully. Now this, by the way, gentlemen, is a sugya in Choshen Shvat. It's a sugya called Tolosh Ulubasov Chibrai. It's a sugya in Mesachas Avodah Zarah. Half of the issue is on Avodah Zarah this year, no? So again, Mesachas Avodah Zarah. The din is that Mishtacha Ve'lahar. Do not try this at home. But if someone bows down to a mountain, the mountain does not become a Chatza of Avodah Zarah, no? But let's say I bow down to a sapling. I bow down to a tiny tree. And then I'm going to attach the tree to the ground. That's called Tolosh. What about self-chibrai? There's a machloikis ha-tanoyim ha-rishonim, how I pass him. A machloikis in Shulchan Aruch is tolosh what about self-chibro dino ke tolosh or dino ke mechubar? No? Choshen Mishpat, it says, Sirin Tzadi Hei, there is a din that there is no shavua on karkovites. No? If Modem and Mitzas usually is chayim a shavua. I say you owe me $200. You say no, I only owe you $100. Gemara Miim Bava Metzia says Ma'idem Mitzvahs Chayav Shavua. Okay, grand. Let's say I say, you know what, Ben? I built two houses, and you owe me the two houses that I built.
I built it, you never paid for them, you owe me two houses, give it back. And you say, two houses? I only owe you one house. Is that why it makes us a tchai b'shavua? If I will pay, so that is a case of tcholosh, v'basay chimra. No? The way you build a house is, that first it is, no? First you build a, you have wood, and you attach it to the ground, let's say, it's tolosh masof chibroi. So that's a machlokas in some tzadi hay of chosha mishpat. Where the tolosh masof chibroi has a din of tolosh, or din of mechubar. According to the Ibi, our sugya is working with the halacha that tolosh masof chibroi is considered mechubar. The Ketzai Sakhayshin writes in Simin Shin Lamed Tes, you know, there's a din of Schiris Po'alim that the Torah tells us, right, in the Sefer Ahavas Chesed, it's the next section that we have after, right, we spoke about Ahavas Chesed and it's about lending money. The next section has halachos of paying workers on time. People don't realize it's a din by Raisa, no? You should be very happy when your babysitter asks you at the end of the week, please pay me. You say, oh, gevaldik, I have an opportunity to do the mitzvah d'raisa of b'yoma titein schara. Right? It's a mitzvah d'raisa. Gevaldik, geshmak. You should be very happy about it. People sometimes feel bad, no? Paying, giving up my money to you. It's a mitzvah min ha-Torah, gevaldik. So, schiris po'alan is a mitzvah. What about tzchiris batim? What about if I rent a house? Does the mitzvah of biyomo titen scharo apply? Or does the iser of lo tolen, no? Lo tolen pu'ula sachir itcha ad orev. Does the iser of not paying apply? That's a question.
It's a
question. Again? So the Torah writes, or the halacha is firas po'alan. So one could argue that if I pay for an action, there's a din of schar sachir. But if I don't pay for an action, there isn't. However, many Rishonim hold that if I don't pay my rent on time, my rent on my apartment, I violate the Issa d'Oraisa. That's Shin Lamed Tes, two opinions in the Tor. Many hold that there is a din of schiris po'alim on karka, on rental, on home rentals. Says the Ketzais, well, there would be no din of schiris po'alim if it's mamash karka, but over here it is talosh ubasov chibro, and even according to those that talosh ubasov chibro is considered mechubar, that is for chosha mishpat issues, but for iser v'heter issues, mitzvahs isurim will consider a tolosh. Meaning, for mitzvahs or isurim, says the Ketzais, you have to be machmir. Just right, it's a suffix. Tolosh b'sof chibro is a suffix. If it's a suffix lahalach, I have to be machmir by isurim. If that's the case, here also says the Meiri, it's a suffix ladina about tolosh b'sof chibro. Therefore, you have to be. Therefore, you have to be machmir. And therefore, we treat this like it is binyan bekarka, not binyan bekelim. Omer Shmuel, Vayter in Gemara. Hamitzadeh et ha'even is chayiv. What's mitzadeh et ha'even? No, I don't think so. Look at Rashi. Mitzadeh to Evan is Moshiva, u'mitzadeh to Anshamit Yashavet, b'karkait yisoid habinyan yofe. Mitoshu mitzadeh to humechina tachteha, u'moshiva ba'oretz, ba'afil ronas antit it's bone koshehu. No? There's a few ha'oretz I want to make over here. We'll learn the complete sugya tomorrow, Mitzah Hashem.
But mitzaneh to even means that I take a rock and I want to build the foundation of a building. So my first stone, I will move around until it sits well on the ground. That's why Rashi says it, no? I'm not attaching it to the ground. I'm not using tit. I'm not using any cement. But nonetheless, according to Rashi, it's called binyan kol shehu. No? You see that diak in Rashi? Mitzadeh to Evan, zakt Rashi. Moshiva mitzadeh until it's on the ground. Va'afilu lo nasan tit, it's bonak kol shehu. So first of all, from this Rashi, I see that the din of binyan kol shehu is not only the case in the Gemara of the keresh that has the worm in it. Right? We ask the kasha on the Rambam. Rambam, how come you're saying categorically that any binyan kol shehu is chayiv? Maybe it's only that one case that's the maskon of the Gemara. I see that from Rashi also. Putting a stone on the ground is called binyan kol shehu. Good? Look at Tosfos. Mitzadei reta eben. Tosfos begins Haki Garzina. Hamitzadei reta eben. What's Tosfos saying? What's Tosfos saying?
You're chayiv for bunya,
not makir b'padish. There was a girsa that you're chayiv for makir b'padish. Zok Tosfos, not true. Why not? What does Tosfos say? The b'maskana mugi lo b'tata'a d'roshayiv sham makir b'padish. The maskana of the Gemara is that we're talking about the bottom stone. The bottom stone is not the makir b'patish, because makir b'patish has to be the final thing. No? The bottom stone is not makir b'patish. Nachon? Agreed? That's what Tosfos says. Moreover, Tosfos writes that we're still learning the din of bone in our perek. We haven't yet gotten to the din of makir b'patish. Look at the Rabbeinu Chananah. Now, in the old Gemaras, the Rabbeinu Chananah is printed on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, where Perek Habona begins. In your Gemara, I think, Ben, it's printed Bimkomo on Kuf Beis Amud Beis. You have
not.
What?
It's not.
It's not, okay.
I have the old Ozra Hadar.
You have the old Ozra Hadar. So, the beginning of Perek Habona, that's like one or two lines into the Gemara. Amar Shmuel, Hametzadeh et Eben Chayev, Mishum, Makeh B'Patish. Rabbi Chananu has the other girsa that Yechayiv Mishum, Makeh B'Patish. Look at the Rambam, Perek Yud Halachin Yud Ches, gentlemen. My Maimonides, not your Maimonides, not your Maimonides, my Maimonides. Perek Yud Halachin Yud Ches, Vashnik Rambam. Makeh b'patish. Aye, Tosfos has a kasha that there can't be makeh b'patish if it's in the middle of an action. Ready? We learned something about this already. This was a girsa issue in Reb Shimon ben Gamliel in the Mishnah. Plug it in. We were speaking about this yesterday with the Ksav Yad stuff. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, the way we have the Mishnah, he says, B'shas Melacha, meaning I'm in the middle of the act. And that's still Makeh B'Patish. I haven't yet finished the act. It's not Gemara Melacha. It's Emtzah Melacha. That could still be Makeh B'Patish. And that Mahalach is clearly what the Rambam and what the Rabbeinu Chananu had.
I think the Rambam holds like the Shalom. That Makeh B'Patish. So you can't necessarily assume that because he says something is Makeh B'Patish, he's assuming anything within the
system. Okay, so We're going to have to work on the Rambam. And in the Mirza Hashem tomorrow, I want to pick up from here and work on the Rambam. But right now I have difficulty because I have a Rambam and a Rabbeinu Hananel who both have a girsa that I'm chayiv for makir patish be'emtza hamalacha, which is only the shita of Rashbag in the Mishnah. The Chachamim clearly disagree. And right, Miss Dama, we don't paskin like Rashbag, okay?
Right, but he could. It doesn't mean. So the Rambam, I think, to say that it's not going to be just any textual definition, because the Rambam quotes the Rishonim by saying that you say things that you don't have a good halacha for on Makim Rishonim.
Yes. First of all, you have to show me where the Rambam quotes at Yerushalmi. That Yerushalmi is like Reb Asher Weiss's favorite Yerushalmi in Judaism. That's where Reb Asher Weiss asked for all electricity on Shabbos, etc. But guys, want to discuss electricity here in the Sugyas of Bona Makar Patish? Okay? So maybe we'll talk about electricity and talk about Binyan Bekeim. These are like big Sugyas. Again, we're going to go on in the Gemaras, make some Ha'arels on the Gemara Rashi and Taisis. But this issue of what is Bona or Makar Patish, look at Halacha Tes Zayin in the Rambam. You have to show me where the Rambam quotes at Yerushalmi, but we'll pick up on this tomorrow, okay, Chevra? I'm trying to pique your curiosity within these sugyas, and Torah is awesome.